It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM, country with a twist. Spring sprung, and then it retracted. And now we got this stuff that's 15, 20 degrees below average. And I'm kind of digging it a little bit because my wife came out of the gate hot on spring projects this year and got me digging dirt and building patios, and I need a new set of steps on the side of my house. And it's like, oh, God. And it was all just wide open when it was warm. And it cooled off, and she kind of hovered back in and you know, kind of hibernated again.
You're
so
a
I'm
lucky
good.
Man is
yes,
what you
I
are.
Yes, I am. Yeah, well, this is Jop, and Barbecue Bob's over there just waiting for me to stop rambling.
That's okay. I've got all day, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Jop, and thanks for joining us this weekend for another hour of silliness on the radio, smokiest show on the airwaves. TheGrillingGuys.com is where you can find us. You, of course, can find us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Grilling Guy at Twitter. Gee whiz.
You get a lot of tweets these days, Bob.
More and more. I got a Rumble channel putting some videos up, so you can check us out there. But more than anything, just get this show dumped onto your phone. If you can't make it Saturday mornings fresh, we'll send it to your phone. Just hit the podcast button on the top right, and it'll... You literally just open up your podcast app and type in The Grilling Guys. And if it's not on the platform you're using, go to the iPhone version of it, if you have an iPhone. And there's a couple other podcast platforms that grab everybody. But no, we don't pay anybody, and we don't ask for any money. We just blabber on.
Yeah, well, you get what you pay for around here.
That's right. And right now we're getting a little spring in Michigan, aren't we? I marvel at how the weather is always the go-to conversation.
Right.
You know, when
especially
nobody
when we get older.
When nobody knows what to say. Man, it got cold. Yeah, it was nice yesterday. I know all this.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Why are you?
I lived it.
Why are
right.
you
yeah.
regurgitating this? Just plan on 40s and 50s in April, and you're okay.
Right.
If you get us a lucky 80 or 70, count your blessings. But it's until mid-May, you just don't know. And even sometimes in May, you can get your pantsed by the
right.
weather.
Yeah, and you know, it's time to buy plants, or is it, right? Because you're going to put them out and they're going to freeze and you're going to lose your money. So
right.
whatever. But anyway, I did a hibachi grill this week. It was the only thing I did on the grill. I fired it up, the Blackstone, rolled it out, and it was rusty. I'm telling you, I keep the thing inside with the metal cover over the top and then a canvas cover over top of that. But it draws moisture, and you really need to cure that thing every time I use it.
Where's it made?
What? Yeah, right, exactly. And the you know, I'm not throwing them under the bus. I'm just telling you what happens.
Get what
at
you
my
pay
house.
For.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now the griddle, it sits on there with four pins, right? A pin on each corner that lets it set above the burners. It's warped. You know, so, and I'm telling you, I am not misusing this thing. I maybe have used it less than 10 times. And that's my testimony. Blackstone, love you. It was inexpensive when I bought it, but you get what you pay for. You nailed it, Bob. That's
absolutely
exactly what it is.
Absolutely.
But it cooked. And
I think we're finding right now that big, I would say, trick or hoax or whatever we were all sold when, you know, all our friends were saying, well, you know, we don't want to build that dirty stuff here. Let them build it over there. We'll just use it. And we're going to have new technology, and we're going to be the information country. And we're going to, you know, we're just going to have a bunch of eggheads sitting around basically typing on keypads. Well, that doesn't win a war, number one, because those nerds cower behind their desks when the bombs start falling. And number two, you got to build guns and bullets and bombs, and you should keep them for yourself and not ship them over for some CIA psyop.
Well, this was all started with a Blackstone warped grill, so geez, I lit that fire, didn't
well,
I?
Well, it's sad to watch your country decay the way ours is.
Well, we're the grilling guys. We're not the country decay guys. Come on now, it's It's all about, let's have a little bit of fun on a Saturday
okay,
morning.
A little bit of fun. I got a wedding tomorrow. My daughter's best friend's getting married, and we're going to have lots of fun. Very close to where Jordan's reception was. And
are you cooking for
all
it?
No. Oh. No. I'm
showing up and eating somebody
else's.
That's a better
way. I'm just
going to
show up in style.
Right.
And we've got, of course, all the family coming in for it. So our house is full of people right now. We got grandkids everywhere, and it's an awesome thing. Man, I'll tell you, if you're a new grandpa, so you're stepping into a new part of life.
Turns out mama's got high octane juice for this little guy. He gained a pound and a half in the first 3 weeks.
See what I mean?
So he's making it happen.
That's a grandparent right there.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
all buddy. Of a sudden, you're talking pounds and inches, and oh, what a poop he had.
Yeah. Not hit that one yet. Yeah. There's three or four people between me and a dirty diaper.
Yeah. Keep it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
yeah.
After they get onto bottle milk and whole food, that thing turns into a landfill.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Like a landfill in August.
That's funny.
And still really after the wood thing, I'm noticing how much wood I go through either for smoking or for stocking up for this next winter. If this one leaves, I might be burning wood all summer long.
Yeah.
But, enjoying the woods and no mosquitoes and cutting firewood and just being outside.
Right.
It's just wonderful. I love it. And I can't get enough of that. And now that my boys are home for the weekend, I'm going to try and get a little bit of help out of them.
All right. Good luck with that. Yeah. You might get an hour or two. They're all busy guys now.
See, they need me still for a few things. So yeah. They'll pitch in.
Right.
Yeah, they're okay.
Yeah.
They're very strong.
Yeah. Big guys. They are. I don't know how they got all that height, but they're tall guys, a lot taller than you. So we got Alex's Save the Date wedding. Invitation.
Yep, that's right.
So that's cool.
That'll be fun.
Yep, that's going to be fun. That'll be your fourth one to get married,
yep.
Right? Out of the five.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That'll be in the fall.
Yeah, and it'll be up north. So we're looking forward. We've rented a very large VRBO.
Have you?
And
has it got JOP in it? Oh, no, we're not invited to the VRBO.
Maybe we'll have to get one of our own. It's got a Best Western down the street.
Right, grab. Maybe we'll have to get one of our own. Yeah, that'll be cool.
You rent your own, I think, is what you get.
That's exactly the way it works.
Yeah, so didn't grill much this week either. I did some steaks. Never get tired of steaks. Did some Italian sausage. Got into a little recipe my daughter cooks, and of course she's home now, but she'll do, she gets this fresh pesto from the dairy case at Costco, and It's really simple. You boil up your pasta, you dump off most of the water, and then you scoop in several scoops of this fresh-ish pasta.
Pesto,
and
I mean
pesto.
Right.
And it's the Kirkland brand in the dairy case. It's a big green bottle. It's fantastic. Scoop in as much as you like. I love pesto, right? It's just ground basil and a few other things, oregano.
Yeah. Sometimes might have a pistachio in it once in a while.
You stir in this green paste into the watery pasta, and it starts to obviously change colors real quick, and your heat is already off. Then you pour in whole cream as much as you want. And if you need to turn the heat on low a little bit, I leave mine on low a little bit for just a minute or two.
Sounds dietary.
That cream, the oil comes to the top, and that's when you know your cream has done its job, when you start seeing the grease on top. Then you dump your Italian sausage on it or whatever you're serving it with, stir it together, and put some fresh grated Parmesan on each plate as you dish it out. Fantastic.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm telling you, I had a bowl last night.
And you probably have another one today, right?
It's not diet friendly.
No.
I'm doing
but
really
it's good.
I'm doing good on my diet. I've lost a significant amount of weight, and I'm hell-bent, and I've just changed the way I'm eating, and I'm going to stay that way.
All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to eat a little healthier than that pesto dish. We're going to do maybe some wild turkey breasts. It's turkey hunting season. I got buddies going out. I'm not a spring turkey guy. But anyway, should be a lot of fun, and if they're successful, then what do you got to do? You got to eat that breast, so... We're going to give you some ideas on how to do it. Your list of grilling guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tech, just off US 131 at exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktech.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We may eventually talk about some grilling at some point, but anyway, we appreciate you tuning in.
Hey, you're the one that brought up the Blackstone.
Right, I did. Well, I was talking about a recipe.
You trigger me.
It went all commie on me, but we're back. So, but anyway.
This is some pretty good turkey.
It is. I brought in some smoked turkey because this is the time of year. I got several buddies that are avid turkey hunters in the spring. And if you're one of those, you know that you draw a time period in the state of Michigan.
Well, you get a permit based on the period that you apply for. I did not get picked.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. So you could go then and buy an over-the-counter one for later in the season. That's why I said you get a time period when you can hunt.
Oh, yeah.
And your license stipulates the number of days that you've got to hunt. So
it's not many.
No, it's not. But this time of year, if you're driving down the countryside, you see them fanned out, the you know.
Boys are showing off.
Right, exactly. And the girls are all running around, you know, giggling.
Look at the rack on that one.
Yeah. So anyway, we're eating cheese and smoked turkey breast in honor of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Bob, have you ever turkey hunted?
Oh, yeah. I have not shot one. But I've also not allotted very much time the few times I've gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like hunting or fishing anything. If you don't put enough time in, you're going to get the results, appropriate.
Lack thereof.
So, yeah.
Yep.
But it is very enjoyable. It's of course, just another excuse to sit in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
Depending on where you hunt, I mean, it's generally a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's not many places that I've ever hunted that weren't enjoyable to just sit. But one thing... and we're going to talk about doing this with wild turkey breasts, but it's going to be under 1% of you that actually have them in your possession. But let's say we wet your whistle just enough here with tasting this wonderful smoked turkey that we're doing. Thank you, Jop, for bringing that.
You bet.
Conrad's like not hating it either, I noticed. Oh, he got quiet
good.
Over
that's
there.
That's really good. Thank
Are you enjoying it, Conrad? Well, psych, it's not turkey. It's buzzard.
Oh, no, the squirrel's coming up in segment 5.
Right, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Did you see it on the show plan? Well, when Rob Russell and I used to do these barbecue classes, one of the, I'd have to say, greatest satisfactions was, of course, when you make something and the people go absolutely crazy over. And one of the simplest things that we did was smoking turkey breasts skin on.
Mm-hmm.
And we would buy these just from the supermarket, frozen turkey breasts, fresh or even better if you can get them, but it depends on where you shop. And we would, of course, thaw them and lay them on the butcher block and season them up nicely. I mean, nothing crazy, but whatever you like on your meat is good enough. It was generally one of the rubs we sold, right? Because we were trying to sell rubs as we're
right,
running
yeah,
around the
that.
Country.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you bring that thing up to 160, 165 and pull it off, cover it and let it rest and give it about 15 minutes and then you start slicing it off. If you had a moderate amount of smoke on it, not too much because it's a delicate meat, right? The flavor and the aroma from a fresh breast off the smoker it's enticing and they're juicy. The surprising thing for most people, we didn't wrap them in bacon or anything, which I would recommend if you're doing a wild turkey, but the juice that's coming out as you're cutting it,
mm-hmm.
I mean, because you got all these students just packed around the cutting block, just watching it, and you start slicing it off, and they have that look like Conrad has right now. dying to grab a piece.
Have some more, Conrad. Yeah, have some more, buddy. That's why I brought it.
Yeah, there goes that diet.
Turkey breast. Turkey's good for you.
Yeah. Very good. I think you're losing weight as you sit
right
there.
When you slice it, go across the breast, not down the length of it, because you'll get a better slice. That'll hold together a little bit better than if you go down, it gets a little stringy.
Absolutely. Watch the grain, just like right. any piece of protein you're cutting.
Right.
And since you're doing that, what you can do if you want to be a little fancy, like you do with your veggies, is put your knife on a bit of an angle too, so you're slicing out. It just makes for a little better presentation. So when you pick up that whole thing with your big spatula and set it on a platter and kind of tip it over, it's gorgeous. Yeah. You get to see your smoke ring. You look like a pro, and if you're listening to this show by now, you should be a pro.
Unless you just tuned in today for the first time,
and then
you will be by the end of the hour.
And then you're only a day away.
Right, yeah. Yeah, at our level of pro,
we're
really
according to Bob.
Yeah, you're really only a day away. Exactly.
But that was just a wonderful one of the classes or part of class we'd do. And again, I think the older I get, the more I'm appreciating some of the simple things like grandkids and sitting in the woods and these simple things that we can take for granted so easily if we're not taking the time for us.
Yep.
And taking the time to just, I mean, I swear the older I get, the more beautiful people I meet. I just meet people that I feel are just like, why have I not noticed all the wonderful people that are traversing the earth? And I think it's because I wasn't taking time.
Right.
And food brings those people into your home.
Love it.
Yeah.
And if you're cooking for them, people enjoy eating.
And they want to hang out with you.
Right. Yep. The turkey breast, if you shoot a wild one, like Bob said, it's probably 1% of our listeners that actually do this and are successful at it anyway. But it's really difficult to pluck a turkey enough to get the skin. So you're probably going to get a skinless turkey breast, and you fillet it off the bone most of the time. So you've got a skinless, boneless turkey breast.
And it's not going to be quite as white as you're used to
right,
seeing.
Yeah, it's going to be darker meat. But at the end of the day, you're going to want to put some sort of moisture on it or in it before you smoke it, or it will get very leathery before it's at that 165 temperature in the center. And generally what we do is Mother Nature's moisture is bacon.
And I've got a little bit of a caveat on that. Even if you want to get yourself what they would call salt pork, or if you buy a little bit of pork belly and brine it for a day or two, you can literally lay those raw slices over your meat that you're smoking. You can smoke your bacon while you're making your protein. And there's a lot more fat on it when it's raw.
Oh, yeah.
So your turkey will get the benefit of that little oinker
pork fat
in a much bigger way.
Right. And all we're trying to do is prevent it from drying out.
Hydrate it.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, you're not filling it full of grease.
No.
So don't get
It'll run off. It'll all run off.
It does.
But while it runs off, it keeps everything moist.
As long as it runs into your plate.
Right. Yeah. Do this on an offset smoker. Don't do it over a flame because that rendering grease will flare up and you'll have a mess.
Yeah. And if you don't have and don't want, let's say you're not a pork fan, you don't have to. You can simply smoke it with a nice packing of sugar and salt. And let that kind of form a crust and protect it a little bit and keep that moisture in, and you'll still have a wonderful piece of meat.
Right.
How many times you've been told that?
Right. Coming up next, we're going to leave the woods and hit the water. We might talk about a couple salmon recipes for you. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And Jethro FM, we're all over Michigan and Jethro. It's kind of cool. And we appreciate you, Conrad, because we couldn't do it without you, brother.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, this is a little bit of fun we do every weekend. People ask me, do you do that for a living? I said, no, I couldn't. It pays too well to do that, right? But anyway, Bob and I just like getting together once a week and shooting the breeze and telling you guys about maybe what we made or how to make something that you might have in your freezer, which is where we're at on this next one. Hopefully you got it fresh, but Steelhead been running this spring like crazy. Been watching my buddies on Fakebook, you know, going on trips and catching fish.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are they pulling steelies?
Muskegon River, you know, all the rivers up north, they're there. And so we thought we'd talk a little bit about maybe some salmon recipes. Bob and I have a different approach to these. And,
which is perfect.
That's where I was going, is that there's no right or wrong way to do this.
And that's why I put both sides on there, so you can do it with skin on or skin off.
Right. So, I'm a skin off guy, but Bob likes the skin on it, or other way around. Excuse me. Yeah.
We've been together too long.
Right, yeah, right.
You're wearing my pajamas.
Right, yeah. I'm the skin on guy, I should say. Yeah, I did say that wrong, because I like to do that. It keeps the downside moist for me. But
well, the thing I like about skin on is if you don't have a cedar plank, you can use the skin as your plank.
Right.
In that case, skin on's fine, because you don't want to put that raw fish on the grate. It'll end up sticking.
Well, and it'll fall through if you try to handle it more than once.
When you try and pick it up.
Yeah.
So I like taking the skin off if I'm going to plank it. And I discovered that the first time I had planked salmon, I noticed when they served it, it was great. And the cedar taste came through a bit. But I noticed that there was this white milky stuff oozing out between the skin and the meat. I don't know what it is, but I didn't care for the appearance of it. So I tried just taking it off the skin and brining it and then putting it on a wet plank. And what I noticed is that I got more of the cedar flavor into the salmon. And salmon sometimes needs just a little bit of help because it tastes like salmon.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of neutralizes it more. You know, trout, salmon, they have a little bit of a funk, and sometimes you want to try and tame that down a little bit, especially for those sissies like me or people that don't like trout.
Right.
And I love catching trout. I don't love eating trout.
Right. So the salmon that with the plank, we'll stick with that. I've got a derivative of that I'll cover here in a second, which is kind of cool. But with the salmon, I put it on the plank and I soak the. You can buy smoking planks. You can go to the lumber yard and buy a cedar shake, right? It doesn't matter. They aren't treated, and you're not going to eat the wood anyway, right? But if you buy a smoking plank at a, you can buy them at the big box stores. You can get them online, whatever it is. I soak that in water for at least an hour, and you got to submerge it, so you need to like set something heavy on it to keep it below the water level, because you don't want it to burn up when it's on your grill. You just want
it
to smolder.
If it's a plank in particular, you want to leave it in the water for a long time, and I'd say give it a day so it totally saturates, because those planks get really thin at one end.
Yep, yep. And so it's but then I take the salmon fillet with the skin side down, and I put it on there, and I put it right over a pretty hot grill, because what we're trying to do is create an oven effect, but you do want to catch that cedar plank a little bit on fire to make it smolder, and generally that happens around the edges.
Accidentally.
Right, yeah. It'll happen around the edges, and you'll get smoke then in your grill. This isn't a smoker recipe. This is a grill recipe. Right. So,
yeah, if you want to smoke it, just throw it on the rack. You don't even need to, don't even plank it.
So, if you want to give it a different flavor profile, I've got a really easy four ingredient topper that I've served to 100 different people, and 99 of them are like, oh my God, that is amazing. And it's perfect for this time of year. One, you got spring salmon, but another bounty of nature from Michigan is maple syrup. Okay, so I take stone ground mustard, the kind with the little seeds that are still in it a little bit, and half of that and half maple syrup. Okay, and you mix that together, and then I sprinkle a little bit of fresh rosemary in there. If you got it, pull it off the stalk, chop it up a little bit, and mix it in. And then I spread that on top of the piece of salmon before I put it in on the grill. And then I'll take a quarter of a lemon, and I'll just squeeze it over the top right when I put it in there. But that sweet and tangy combination on top of that salmon, and with the maple syrup in there, it gums a little bit, right? It gets tacky, right? And that texture, then you get a little bit of it on every bite. It doesn't run off. And it's beautiful because it darkens down a little bit.
Well, I'd have to say that's one of your signature dishes.
Yeah, and it's great. So that's just on a cedar plank, and you'll know when it's done because the thickest part will flake away.
And things like that, what Jop's talking about, he tried it. I remember the first time you tried it, you were ranting and raving about it. Things like that you try and you improve upon. You've changed the recipe from however you first thought of it or saw it or whatever. But you get these things that you bring into your repertoire, and you just kind of improvise and you
perfect it.
You own it, and it doesn't matter who gave you the idea or where you read it or if it's all original. There's no such thing as all original, hardly. But the thing is, when your guests come over and you serve them that beautiful piece of salmon, what do they say?
Oh, they're amazed. They love it. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and
so that's why Jop owns that piece and why he keeps making it, because what's that do for you?
Yeah, it makes me feel good.
Makes you feel great.
Right.
Because that same thing I was talking about, you know, we're on this planet a short while. Make it a good while.
Right. Second recipe. How much time we got, Conrad?
About 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll go quick on this one. You can buy a cedar wrap, which is like paper thin cedar, and they come like 20 of them in a pack. They're on the internet, whatever.
And you soak those too.
Right, you soak those in water. Don't need to go nearly as long. Then I cut them in the salmon in individual portions, and it's like a smaller than a piece of paper. It's like 6 inches.
It looks
by
like
six
a taquito.
Yeah, and then I wrap it up, and I put two butter pats and two lemon slices across the lemon, not wedges, but flats, right? That's it, and a little salt and pepper on there. And take that cedar paper, wrap one over the other, and then a piece of butcher twine, and you tie it up, and you put a bow on it like you're tying your shoe, right? And you make these little things, and they end up, about the big as a Twinkie, right?
But you don't put those on the indirect heat.
No, you don't. So I'm grilling those because with that wet cedar paper and that little thin piece of salmon, I'm doing maybe like an inch and a half, 2 inch wide fillet, the top to bottom width of the fish, but only like an inch
crisps
or two of it.
Right up.
Yeah.
You just keep rolling it.
Right. And that butter oozes out the end, and the lemon flavor
God,
on
that
there.
That sounds good.
It's
butter and lemon? Are you kidding me? Yeah. Who would ever thought that?
Right. And super simple, but the cedar wrap, and then when you set them on somebody's plate, it's like opening a present, right? There's a little, there's a bow tie on there. You pull the strings, it opens up, and there's your protein. It's really cool. And this time of year, if you got a bunch of salmon, because you catch one, you can make 50 fillets, of 50 of these little packets off it.
So let's say you like salmon on a salad.
Right.
You just lay that whole bouquet right on top of a nice, fresh, crisp salad.
Yeah.
Give them a little dressing, and you got a great presentation. Because, again, you're learning to be a pro here. Presentation, it's a big deal.
Right.
If you bring them out a plate and everybody oohs and ahs, how do you feel?
Right. Yep. Like you want to do it again.
That's right.
Right? Yeah.
Like another.
Plus, it tastes good. And that's the thing. And now, both of those, try that one on your spouse and your kids before you invite a bunch of people over. Perfect it. There's some technique.
Yep.
You'll get it. You don't want to overcook it.
And you probably have to buy those wraps online because I never see them in any stores.
No.
But it's a great little tool.
Right.
It's like rolling a big fish joint.
Right.
Classic. Classic.
Right. Yeah. I didn't make that reference before, but now I'll never forget it. All right. So enough about that. You are listening to Grilling Guys. What's up next, Bob?
We're going to do a little walleye.
All right. Walleye fishing. Been there, done that. Stick with us. You're listening to Grilling Guys. We'll be back.
Hi. This is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitt full. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Wow, we had a great salmon joint over the break there. So now we're back.
You had to go there.
Well, it's stuck in my mind
paranoid,
now, man.
It's
stuck in my mind now.
I think the
they're legal, though. They're legal in Michigan, so we're okay.
I think the DNR's coming, man.
Yeah, right, yeah. But anyway, we're still in the water. A couple weeks ago, Bob ran the show with Conrad because I was out walleye fishing. And the guys are still killing them. Whether you go to the Detroit River, you go over to Lake Erie, Saginaw Bay, those seem to be the hot spots for walleye in our great state of Michigan and then our friends down in northern Ohio. But anyway, there's a lot of things you might do with walleye, and there's a few things that you absolutely should do with walleye. And, unfortunately, if you're on a very strict diet, my preferred method is probably not for you because I am a good old-fashioned deep-fried walleye with a very light batter on it.
I'm going to say that most people who grew up fishing or have grown to love fishing all deep fry their fish.
Right.
It's just a fact.
Right.
And you show me a fisherman that doesn't have his own deep fryer, and I'll show you a new fisherman.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So you can only be perfectly healthy on so many things.
Right.
Sometimes you just got to take those liberties and eat what you really enjoy.
Yeah.
So deep frying is absolutely a great way to do it, and here's the thing about walleye. You can get in trouble on walleye deep frying it. So what would you do to safeguard yourself to make sure that your fillets are intact when you pull them out of the fryer?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, just like almost anything we do in bite-sized pieces, and that's what I do with my walleye, is you want to cook the same dimension pieces in the oil at the same time. The belly of the fish gets thin down to maybe like an eighth of an inch.
Yes.
The back of the fish could be an inch thick. Well, there is a huge difference in cook time.
Yeah.
When you cook those together, those little pieces, if you wait for the big ones to be done, yeah, you can take them out, but then you're eating cold fish.
So you're going
right?
to trim those off.
What I'm going to do is size my my portions and cook them all the like size
together.
You're
going to make square fillets like McDonald's?
Well, no, but I do cut them all. If you catch a nice walleye, you're 14 inches on a fillet.
Yeah.
That's way too much to cook at one time, and my fryer's not that big.
But my thoughts are, so you're trimming all that skinny stuff off.
And I'm keeping it.
What do you do with it?
I'm keeping it because that's like potato chips. Oh, they're so good, but they cook in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Where the thicker stuff may take 2 or 3 minutes.
I'll tell you what some people also do with that. They'll take those pieces and they'll get a small pot of water and a skimmer, and they'll just boil them lightly, very quickly, and keep them for like a salad. You know, you can make like tuna salad with walleye.
Oh, sure.
Believe it or not, it's legal in Michigan right now.
Yeah. Those little pieces like that, too, when you boil fish.
You can fry them.
You put a little cocktail sauce on them. They almost taste like shrimp cocktail.
You can fry them, absolutely.
Yep. Right. So.
Oh, yeah. You make like a walleye cocktail.
The boiled ones.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's another thing, you know, just with the ketchup and horseradish, or if you buy the cocktail sauce, whatever.
So I know you like to do the dry coating with the corn stuff in it. Do you ever do like beer batter?
Yeah. It's funny you say that.
Because people tend to really love. I mean, if you eat a deep-fried onion ring.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you get somebody that knows a good beer batter, sorry about the belch there. You get a good...
You know, it's all relative.
It tastes like turkey.
Yeah.
If you get a good deep-fried batter,
yeah,
and you can do anything in it. Mushrooms, onions, do your walleye.
Yeah.
So there's another reason to have a deep fryer.
Cauliflower.
Those are good.
Cauliflower, yeah. So let me tell you.
Not so big on the pickles,
though. If you were listening through the whole show, I'm sorry. But I'm going to make a reference back to the first segment. My wife, you know, the weather has been good. We've had a few nice days. She comes out of the box hot. So I'm driving to all the stores buying all kinds of different stuff. And I needed weed killer, right? So I went to Blaine's Farm and Fleet. I was driving by, stopped there, bought my Roundup to keep my weeds down. And
actually a pretty cool store.
Right. They had Shore Lunch on sale for $2 a box. I don't know. It's regularly $2.99 or whatever. So they had four flavors up there. Okay, that's a flour batter. I'm a cornmeal batter guy. I like it better. It crisps up a little better for me. But I bought four flavors. I got a Cajun. I got like a garlic parmesan. I got a regular, and I don't know what the
third one. Is that out of Minnesota?
I don't know where they're from. They were little boxes of batter mix, right? But I thought for $2
I've heard of it. I've never had
it. I'm going to buy one of each. And so I've not tried them
yet.
Well,
let me know how you like
that. Yeah, but that is a flour-based batter, which you usually mix an egg or some milk
beer.
Or a combination of beer, whatever in it, to get it into a batter thickness, and you dip your fish in it and deep fry it.
So let's stop right there for a second. If you've never done that before, what's the trick to getting that beer batter to stick into your fillet?
Well, you can't get it too thin. It still has to be a tacky.
So you just put your fish in a thicker batter?
Yes, yes.
Okay, here's a cool trick I learned from a chef. He pats it with flour and then puts it in, because that flour immediately creates a little bit of a tacky, sticky substance to it, and that batter will actually stick to the fillet. You can put a wet, because you like soaking them in cold water.
Right.
Right? You can put... And if you're doing volume, they're not all going to be perfect. You're just going to grab and go.
Right.
So you roll it around in the flour. You've done that before. I know you have.
With wet fish?
Oh, just so many innuendos. But you put that flour on there, and that batter sticks to it wonderfully. And you're absolutely right. You don't want it too thin. But here's the other thing. You don't want it too thick either.
Right, yep.
So you got to keep a beer right there.
Right.
Another reason to keep a beer.
Air on the thick side.
Yeah.
And if it starts, if it doesn't, you know, it comes out glumpy or glops of it, you want it to, when you pick the fillet up, you want it to run off but still stick there.
Yeah.
Right. And so your consistency, you keep doctoring your beer in it.
Right.
And as you run out of batter, you put more flour mix in, and then you got more beer in, and then you're out of beer and you got to go get another beer. I mean, that's how this whole thing works. If you're not feeling that theme, you need to understand.
You got the wrong show.
You got the wrong show. Yeah. To do that. But what Bob said is the second method that I use. There's a batter mix out there called Andes, A-N-D-E-S, and it's a cornmeal-based batter. And A guy that used to talk to us a lot, geez, we should have reached out to him this week, is Captain Ken from Gyra Charters over on Saginaw Bay. Good friend of the show.
I don't know if he's even doing charters.
Yeah, anymore. I don't know either. But anyway, he taught me this, is you put your cut-up fillets, your bite-sized ones, in ice water for 10, 15 minutes before you cook them, because that cold fish, and then he puts it in a...
It makes your fish condense a little bit.
Right.
It gets a shrinky.
Yep, and what it really does is when you take that cold fish with some batter on it and you put it in hot oil, it makes it crispy quicker.
Yeah.
So you get a crunchier batter from that.
Crispy quicker.
Right. But that's a... And he shakes his. He puts those just wet fillets in this shaker that he's got, like a big Tupperware thing, and he shakes the batter.
Yeah, it's actually a made for coating fish.
Right,
it's very
and
cool.
I've got one too. Yep, but anyway, long story short, is you get the batter evenly on that, and then you just drop in 15, 20 of them in your oil, and they'll float when they're ready, and when they're done, they sink to the bottom when you throw them in there, and then when they're ready, they float. Now,
so regardless of the coating that you prefer, let's say you love Drake's, let's say. Yep. You still have some bags of Babe Winkleman's, which isn't available anymore. You got whatever your favorite is. Yep. You make your own.
Right.
You know, using Bisquick or Jiffy or something like that and your favorite spices. That container will do the same thing. The ice water does the same thing. It doesn't matter what you're using. What matters is your methodology and having something... I guess, embedded into your memory that makes you do the same thing over and over again to get that product quality that you really want to get. Because we all know that when some friends come over and you're making this food, sometimes the pressure gets on a little bit and you're like, you have to put out.
Well, here's my one recommendation. When the friends come over, focus. Don't get distracted. Because I've done it more than once, and you start BSing somebody that's there, and
the
you forget
funny guy
what
wants
doing.
To hang out by
right.
the grill with you,
and you forget what you're doing, and you overcook something, and then you serve it, and you're like, oh God, this is a B minus.
Now your night's ruined,
right? Yeah,
because you look like an idiot.
This is not the A that I want.
And
to put
they
on
don't
the
even
table.
Think you look like an idiot. They're
right.
totally happy. I'm not happy with it.
Damn
right.
it. Yes,
that's
exactly.
All I care about.
Exactly. So, but focus. Keep your focus on what you're doing. They'll be there after you're done
And there
cooking.
Might be adult beverages involved.
Right.
So,
yeah. All right. Well, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week, listening to RBS. If you're out in the turkey woods, be safe. Only shoot at what you can see. And have a great weekend.
And go roll a salmon joint.
All right.